Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 831. It's the 26th of July, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Paul Haywood, non-executive director at OEX. OEX is ticker there, and Paul discusses the current progress at the company. Plus, I also have Mark Parker, non-executive director of Blenheim Natural Resources, BNR ticker, and Mark outlines the company's strategy and comments on today's news. Plus, I have financial analyst with Spreadex, Connor Campbell, talks about results coming up for Just Eat and BT Group this week. I also have, as always, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs on the platform in the last 24 hours too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Paul Haywood, non-executive director of OEX, ticker there is OEX. Paul, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Now, there are people aware of OEX, and there's a big following on Vox, I know that. For people not aware, though, of OEX, Paul, can you give a sort of brief summary as to what you're all about there, please?
Sure. Well, the company's main asset today is located in India, which we have a specific focus on our interest in a Camp Bay field. Camp Bay is a tight gas play with multi-TCF gas resource. The project requires drilling optimization and stimulation technology to achieve commercial flow rates, and the team have been working diligently to, as we like to call it, crack the code, which, if successful, will trigger an explosion of significant value for us in India.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent stuff. And so you see, you're working in India. Guess the date, because I know there's been a lot of talk about, you know, payments due to you and all this stuff. And first of all, what will you be bringing to the table? Let's start with that first. What will you be bringing to the table? Because I know you're based in the UK. What do you hope to achieve there, Paul?
I think my role with OEX supports the team in three key areas. Firstly, it creates a stable presence for the group in the UK, which, of course, is a key market for it. Most importantly, my presence will ensure all stakeholders, both present and future, are kept well informed on the company's progress. Secondly, my position will offer the group increased exposure to exciting opportunities, which have the potential to underpin the company's broader growth strategy. And lastly, my position offers added independence to the board, bolstering the group's commitment to fulfilling its corporate governance policy.
Marvellous stuff. Okay, well, listen, you've got several projects, but at the moment, I suppose the main focus is India. And give us an update on what's happening there, because I know a while back you released a couple of updates on the fields there, and you mentioned a cash payment that was due, and that's created a bit of excitement, I know, on social media. So take us through the detail here, Paul, if you could.
That's right, Justin. Well, I'll cover kind of two key points here, and that's both technical and corporate. On the technical standpoint, as disclosed to the market most recently, the company has completed two low-cost workovers in the Camp Bay field. The operation was successful in that the program was executed on time and under budget. Though production rates fell short of expectations, it should be noted that this particular work program was not expected to deliver game-changing production results for the company. Our key objective here was to enhance the group's technical understanding of the field, which would support drafting of a field development plan, which, in accordance to the company's obligations under the Camp Bay production sharing contract, is to be fulfilled this year. This, of course, is a key milestone for the company and will feed into the next phase of work on the asset. And also on a corporate standpoint, as announced on the 19th of June, the company has made significant progress with its JV partners, GSPC, and most notably unblocking the legacy JV debt derived from unpaid cash calls accrued over a course of several years and totaling a value of $6.8 million net to OEX. As of this quarter, the company has received the equivalent of $1.4 million against the outstanding cash calls, and the remaining aggregate amount outstanding cash calls currently sits at around $5.5 million, and the company continues to maintain constructive dialogue with its JV partners on resolving the remaining outstanding balance. And on this point, and interesting point to note actually, is the cash inflow from the GSPC part payment to Oilex exceeded the forecasted workover cash calls expected to be received over a 15-month period by around three times. So not only has the progress on the JV front harmonised the vital relationship for us in country, financially the company is in a much better position today and has significantly mitigated the risk pertaining to receiving future cash flows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can see, like I said, so you've received $1.41 million, and you've got what, 5.68 left, and that's quite significant because if you look at your market cap, it's around 4.6 million. So that's pounds, of course. So it's running about. It's not far off the market cap, is it?
Indeed, that's right.
Okay, marvellous stuff. All right, so Paul, in summary, people are listening to this right now, and they like the potential here, but they're not following you on Vox. Give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button, please, on your page.
I guess keeping it simple, in this situation I can simply run through the key points I look at when following any public company that I may or may not have an interest in, and that's the opportunities, management and price. In Oilex, I believe opportunities and management should be evaluated in parallel. But the current opportunity in India is clear and is moving from strength to strength, supported by, of course, by the most recent payment by a JV partner. Another factor to consider is the company's ability to evaluate and acquire value-add opportunities in line with its broader strategy, and for that you must evaluate the management team. I sincerely feel that the skill sets and ability encompassed by this board confirm it is well equipped to diligently evaluate projects of merit and complete commercial transactions. And one final point to note is the price, of course. I think in Oilex, the current market cap is in and around its all-time low. So in my view, the company has never been better positioned to create value for its shareholders. All things considered, I think Oilex is definitely one for the market to follow.
Marvellous. Paul, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Yes, I hope so. Thanks, Justin. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Mark Parker, Non-Executive Director of Blenheim Natural Resources. Ticker there is BNR. Mark, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Justin. Good morning.
Good morning. It's always nice to get someone on when you know, people have requested you come on, or someone from your company come on for a while. So you're quite a hot stock on social media. So, Mark, for people not aware of you, though, can you give a sort of brief summary as to what Blenheim Natural Resources is all about, please?
Blenheim's a mineral resources and natural resources, says it in the name, investment company listed on AIM. We have three investment strands. The first is simply a trading portfolio. We buy in and out of shares, well-traded shares in the market. The second, probably the most important strand, is strategic investment. So we like to make strategic investments in early stage mineral projects. We bring a little bit more than just investment. You know, we have a strong team, and we have access to very good skills, which can help a company, a startup, beef up its structure and beef up its offer. And then thirdly, as an AIM listed investment company, we're always on the lookout for opportunities for a major transaction, a reverse takeover or something like that. We haven't found one yet, but we do keep looking.
Okay, marvellous stuff. Well, you've announced some news of late, and that was, in fact, the completion of the acquisition of a 40% interest in the Manza Lithium Inc. So can you take us through that and the reasons behind it? I mean, obviously, lithium at the moment, very hot, and in fact, more so than ever, because we've had a UK government announce they want to be all electric cars-wise by 2040, joining other countries. And so there's a huge move towards this electric space. And of course, lithium is one of the commodities involved in batteries and stuff. So apart from that reason, Mark, which is a massive reason, why the interest in lithium, and what do you hope to achieve here?
Well, as you say, quite an extraordinary announcement this morning from the British government, and I believe that follows a similar one by the French government not long ago. Obviously, electric cars are going to become much more important. We had the announcement earlier this week on storage of renewable generated power in batteries, but in a domestic setting and small business setting, which was also, of course, of great importance for the battery industry. Well, lithium is one of the principal minerals which is required for battery technology, modern battery technology. Because it's a lightweight metal, it has a very high, it offers a very high power density ratio, and it's definitely the growth metal of the future, along with one or two others like cobalt and so on, which are also used in batteries.
I understand.
We as you say, we announced this morning the completion of our investment in Mansa. This is our second investment in lithium in West Africa, and we believe that Mali in particular is shaping up to be a very important lithium province in Africa and in the world. There are two companies there already which have been very successful in drilling out resources, and we expect to follow them along pretty closely. Our licenses, or the licenses into which we've invested, are all close to the known lithium discoveries in Mali.
Yeah. And so where, I mean, Mansa, at what stage are they at as far as exploration and also the other investment? At what stage are they at as well?
Very early stage. Mm-hmm. They have acquired now their licenses, which is why we completed the investment. The licenses have been fully granted and signed off. And these are reasonably large areas. They will need basic exploration and, The funds that we're putting in will be used in that first stage of basic exploration to locate the pegmatites which carry the lithium minerals themselves.
Okay, and is it a long term investment, or are you hoping here to have an exit strategy once they prove up some reserves or resources? Are you hoping to have an exit strategy there?
We are an investment company, and we do plan to churn investments, but we'll stick with it as long as it takes to add sufficient value to make it all worthwhile. At the moment, the lithium market, a number of the end users of lithium are very, very keen on acquiring future security of supply. And I suspect that one of the possible exits will be that a large end user comes along and either buys into the project or takes the project on. But, who can foresee the future?
Yeah. Well, exactly. Well, do you know what? By the looks of it, by the movement, mass movement of governments towards, of course, electric cars, the future looks quite bright for lithium and, like I said, cobalt and other associated commodities. So it's a good play, definitely. And okay. And as far as other things are concerned, is there any other bits of news? I mean, you obviously mentioned reverse takeover, and what stage you at with that? I assume you're always looking. Are you for?
Yes, we keep our eye open. I mean, it may come unexpectedly from somewhere, an opportunity, or one of our portfolio investments, or one of our strategic investments, might turn into a, might look for a listed vehicle and might do an RTO with us to get itself listed. So there are many possibilities there.
Yeah, I understand. Okay.
But at the moment, that's more on the distant horizon. So our strategic investments are the key to our current activities.
Marvellous. Okay, Mark, well, listen, if anyone's listening right now and they like the space that you're in, the hot sector of lithium, but they're not following you as yet on Vox Markets, could you give them sort of three bullet points as to why they should probably hit that follow button, please?
Well, this is an active period for us. The minerals market has come out of a few years of relative quiescence, and interest has grown in it again. There's quite a lot of money out there chasing good projects, and so we are pretty keen to get involved on the ground floor with early stage good projects. We're looking at a number of others. We're looking at I can't say too much, obviously, but we're looking at projects in southern Africa for platinum group metals and nickel. We're looking at projects in Western Europe for zinc and some of the zinc-associated minerals like indium, which of course is used for all touchscreens. We are looking at copper and so on. And these opportunities are being evaluated now. So I think we can expect some announcements on those in the coming weeks and so on. Lithium, of course, well, the government's doing our work for us at the moment, and the last couple of announcements make lithium a very hot space currently. So I think we'll continue to look at opportunities in lithium. You know, we've taken a third director onto our board recently, Christian Schaffelitzky, he has yet to take a stake in the company, but the other two of us, Chris Ells and myself, have stakes in the company, so we're aligned. Our interests are aligned with the company's interests. So, you know, that's another good reason to follow us, I think.
Marvellous. Mark, good to chat to you. And like you said, you've got a lot of news flow happening, so hopefully we'll speak again very soon. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Justin. Goodbye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Connor Campbell, financial analyst at Spreadex. You all right, Connor?
Very good, thank you.
All right, so what are we looking at? What are we looking at today? What now you come on and talk about results coming up of bigger companies. And so what are the results to look out for in the next couple of days?
I think one of the most interesting companies reporting this week is Just Eat on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Just Eat it's sort of a bit like ASOS, obviously not as wildly successful in terms of its stock price, but still similar trends, similar, you know, incredibly strong headline figures and an almost unstoppable rise really on the market. So it's had another great year in terms of its price. It's kept climbing. It's now around the £7 mark, only a few pence away from an all-time high. And all you have to do is basically have a glance at its last couple of updates to see why it's doing so well. Basically, its full year figures in March, there was a 42% rise in full year orders, a 52% jump in revenue, and most eye-catchingly, 164% jump in pre-tax profit to just over 91 million, which, you know, it's hard not to eat up those figures and sort of feel incredibly satisfied with what Just Eat served up. In May as well, similar figures, revenue was up 46%, like-for-like sales were up 40%, and it also had a nice rise internationally. It bought Skip the Dishes, which I think is basically it was its Canadian counterpart, and that helped international sales rise 38%. So again, very, very healthy figures. It's not all been good news in the last few months. It's sort of £200 million takeover of Hungry House, which I guess, bar stuff like Deliveroo, is its main UK competitor. Mm-hmm. That sort of hit a bit of a snag with the CMA saying that they want to do an in-depth investigation into the takeover because it would, you know, wipe out Just Eat's main competition, basically. But beyond that, things are looking good. It's got a new CEO coming in September, which is the former MoneySupermarket.com CEO, Peter Plum. I think all the investors will want to see on Thursday is similar revenue growth, similar like-for-like sales, the promise of some decent profit at the end of the year. You know, it's doing everything right at the moment. As long as it can maintain that level of growth, I think investors should be happy.
Yeah, but it's one of those things that it is a growth stock, and a lot of people who are value investors will not even touch it because I don't know what the PE is. I'm on my system here showing a PE of 50, pretty much from 47, which is nuts, you know, compared to what they're, because they're valued. The market cap is 4.8 billion. And so wow. If you look at those revenues, you're thinking, that is highly rated. It's a very expensive stock. You know, you are, I mean, and it's one of those companies, if they miss, you know, any growth of these figures, if they miss a growth figure, the stock will take a big hit. But you could argue Yeah, you could argue that it's a good time to get in if you missed a couple of entry points, because, you know, it seems to be momentum in this stock, like something like a fever tree, you know, it doesn't stop. It's almost like one of those stocks where you don't say, you think, oh, I won't get in now because it's been rallying, and then you realise 6 months on the line, it's still rallying, and you think, wow, I should have got in 6 months ago. And so it's one of those things, a fear of missing out, isn't it, where everyone keeps jumping in.
They've just done such a good, you know, such a strong advertising campaign. So me and my friends basically unthinkingly will go to Just Eat if we're ordering food. Not unless we're going for something specific like Domino's, where you'd order from that site. Unthinkingly go to Just Eat without question, really. I'd never consider really going to any of their rivals, even Deliveroo or stuff like that. And especially, you know, you've got things like Burger King on Just Eat or KFC or McDonald's appearing on these kinds of things. Like, that's huge, you know, places that for years people have clamouring for some kind of delivery from places like Burger King and KFC, and the fact that Just Eat has been the one to do that is massive.
Yeah, okay, cool. So keep an eye out for Just Eat, and if they don't deliver, it'll probably take a bit of a knock, and it's got people are used to sort of like double-digit returns here and their growth figures, so if they don't achieve that...
Yeah, exactly.
That,
you know, that is the big danger, that it's not going to take a lot to disappoint investors, I think.
Yeah, okay, cool. And what else are we looking at, Connor?
BT reports on Friday, you know, continuing this week's sort of absurdly busy trend. I think like a quarter of the FTSE 100 will have reported by the end of the week. BT comes on Friday. BT is sort of the opposite year to Just Eat, basically. It's actually been an absolute dog of a year. You know, and basically from, you know, its year has been decided in the few weeks in January when the Italian accounting scandal hit. Huge plunge. And then just since then, it hasn't been able to recover. The only good thing is, it seems as if most of the bad news is now out of the way. It's hopefully, I think, with Friday's update, it will try and really emphasise that it's the start of a new financial year, that it's got a handle on the Italian accounting scandal, that the Openreach issues with Ofcom seem to be sorted now. They've come to an agreement. BT's, you know, taking the BT branding off of Openreach, but still maintaining most of its control over that company. I think it's now going to look to say, look, this is a new year. This is our first quarter report. We're doing very well. I think pre-tax profit is meant to be up nearly 5%. You know, they can point to figures like that, point to the continued success of Openreach and things like EE, just be like, look, guys, we're still doing well. This was an anomaly that we've got under control. We've got a new chairman coming in, you know, who was the chairman of Rio Tinto for 8 years. I think it's looking like it can maybe start to turn things around now, because it's also had so much bad news and done so poorly. It's sort of not going to take a lot, I don't think, to impress investors. Now, I think I've said that before, the last time around, its fourth quarter report, it didn't quite get the jump it could have off of some decent figures. However, you know, it's first quarter, hopefully it is now the start of a new year, so hopefully it can strike a positive note and investors will be receptive to that.
Yeah, well, I mean, this time last year, or I'd say, you know, a year and a half ago, it was like £5 a share. Now they've done it, just they've touched below £3 a share. And I've got to say, I'm investing in BT. It's one of these companies, I always see this happening. You know, it happens with big companies like Tesco and all that. When they have a disastrous year, and everyone knows it's a disastrous year, and you think either they are at the centre of a storm where everything goes wrong, possibly can go wrong, it's almost time to start looking at a company like this that throws off a lot of cash. You know, free cash flow is massive. They've got big dividends to pay. It's now about 5% yield. So I've jumped in because I've looked at the chart and I'm thinking, this £3 dipping below, it went to like 285, almost touched, I think, 280 at one point. It's looking oversold on the RSI on the chart there. And it's now rallying. The RSI relative strength is up. It's worth looking at, and I think as a longer term play. Now they've acknowledged that they've, you know, Italian problems. Like I said, the Openreach and Ofcom, is all that. It's all out there now, and they've said now it's time to improve and move on. And hopefully they will start dealing with this. And it's a historic low right here at the moment. And so they can only see. I'm just looking at when the share price was last down here, and it was around. Let's scroll back the chart here. It's before 2014. So, you know, over 3 years ago, the share price was at this level. And you've got to argue, you know, if they're acknowledging these problems and sort them out, then surely all the bad news, like you say, is out there. Because
it should be a cleaner you know, hopefully a far cleaner update on Friday.
And it's a 5% yield on the dividend, and they've said the only thing they've changed last time the update is they were going for a 10% increase in the dividend every year, and in the last update they changed that and they sort of brought it down a little bit to say it's going to be progressive, so they aren't going to keep it flat. They are going to increase it, but not by 10% every year. But they're still going to increase the dividend. So you argue here at 5%, you know, and a stock that's taking the hammer in, it's probably a good investment on dividends alone, you know, because where else are you going to put your money? So it's a good. Having said that, do your own research. You know, like I said, you never know. There could always be another skeleton in the closet. You never know. You know? Anyway, Connor, thanks for that, fella. And
we'll
speak next week, fella.
Speak next week.
Okay, top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours were at 5. This is due to the copper price rise. It's broken out above a certain range. And so people are now following Central Asia Metals, CAML, a copper producer. And of course, on the back of that, don't forget, in new electric cars, there's more copper than traditional cars. I think about twice, almost three times as much, is it? I think around about that. So people are looking for copper exposure, as well as new tech commodities like cobalt, lithium. At 4, most followed, Alba Mineral Resources, ALBA, ticker there. At 3, newly floated, I3E Energy, ticker is I3E. At 2, it's always there, pretty much, Ascent Resources, AST. And at 1, most followed company, it's been, I think, top three, at least top five in the last couple of weeks, and it's been number one for the last two, 3 days. It's UK Oil and Gas, UKOG. Okay, here are the top five most liked RNSs on the platform this morning or in the last 24 hours. At 5, Kibo Mining, KIBO, covered the chart with Nicola Duke earlier this morning. That's the Mbaya Coal to Power project update. At 4, Cadence Minerals, KDNC, and that was a MacArthur Minerals update. At 3, Optibiotics, Opti, that's a market launch for LPLDL, capsules in Germany. And at 2, Echo Energy, just out, last couple of hours. The RNS was signature of technical evaluation agreement. Also covered that chart on the podcast this morning with Nicola Duke. And at number 1, the most liked RNS, and I'm happy to say, a guest from the company today is on the podcast, is from Blenheim Natural Resources, completion of Mansa Lithium Inc. investment. And we chat about that with Mark, who is a non-exec director. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, if you like the podcast, you listen this far in, must be something you like about it. Even if you, maybe you don't. Maybe you just hate me so much, you just want to listen to me some more so you can hate me some more. Don't know if that makes sense. Either way, if you could, go to the iTunes, give us a review. 5-star rating and review, please. A little line, one line will do. It will help the podcast get found by other people, because they do knock it up, the sort of search results, if it's got lots of reviews and lots of ratings. 5 stars, please. Thanks very much. I owe you. I will read out your review if you do give me a nice review. That's it. If you don't, obviously I'm not going to read out a review of you slagging me off. No. Pointless. Unless I get some kind of twisted pleasure from that. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos. Appreciate.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.